Hey everyone, thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of Kids, Docs, and Motherhood with myself, Vesta, and my amazing and lovely co-host, Kelly.
Hey y'all.
Okay, so you all, we are excited about today's discussion because it's not highlighted enough, if you ask me. And it is something that is, how would you put it, Kelly?
I would say it's a very triggering topic. It's a very sensitive one, and is one that as Black mothers that we need to advocate more for. So it can be described in all three of those different ways. So just kind of sit back and relax, everyone. But I do, again, want to give a little warning that this could be very triggering. So.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you, Kelly. I forgot to say that. So Kelly and I were discussing a few weeks ago some topics that, you know, we felt like needed to be highlighted as Black women, part of the Black community, when it comes to just pregnancy, childbirth, and everything like that. So Black Maternal Health Week actually was last month in April. But this is a story that I feel like should be highlighted. So the story is of Kira Johnson. I don't know if many have heard of Kira Johnson. She was a young mother, a wife of 10 years. Her and her husband were expecting their second child. They had already had, I believe, a 19-month-old. And they were so excited. They were expecting their second child. She was healthy. She was in great shape. No prior health problems. So when the doctors told them that she would have to have a C-section, they weren't too worried about it because, like I said, you know, her health was in great condition. Well, April of 2016, she had her C-section. After her C-section, she complained of having some abdominal pain. You know, her husband and her family were by her side, and they said they really began to notice the seriousness of her condition when they had found blood dripping through her catheter, right? Mm-hmm. So after that, I was reading a story. The husband notified the staff, the nurses, and pretty much begged them to do something. They literally begged the doctors and nurses to pay her some attention. Mm-hmm. For about 10 hours, Kelly, I was so disturbed reading this. For about 10 hours, she was in pain. And when her doctor, I think they said a CT test was ordered, but it was never done. I mean, the CT test was never ordered. But for 10 hours, Kelly, she laid in pain. And when her doctor finally addressed her situation and took her to emergency surgery, they found out that her bladder was lacerated during her C-section. So she bled internally and had 3 liters of blood in her abdomen. And pretty much they couldn't save her. They tried, they couldn't save her. And so her husband today, to this day, he has advocated on her behalf. And I believe there was even an act passed by Congress. And it was called Preventing of Maternal Death Act. It was passed in 2018, and that provides funding for state and local surveillance of maternal death. But the sad thing is, Kelly, that situations like this are common. You know, like it happens so frequently, and these are preventable causes. If they're caught early, they're preventable. But they let this woman sit for 10 hours in pain while she bled out, you know? So this is the topic that we're going to be discussing. We have more statistics, but Kelly, let's get this conversation going. You called me the other day with a story. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that one?
So ironically, as I am, you know, searching the web here, I was reading, because, you know, this is a very sensitive subject for me personally, because, you know, my experience with my oldest child and what I went through. And I remember reading this story, ironically, and her name, make sure I say it correctly, I don't, Amber Isaacs. Okay. I didn't want to, I do not like dropping on people's names. And she recently just passed here back in April. And she was having these dreams. Like she was talking with her significant other and she kept telling him things, you know, like, I don't feel like I will make it through, you know, labor and all those things. And, you know, he was like, no, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. So in the midst of her, you know, having these dreams, you know, stating this stuff out loud, you know, they did their best to try to keep her as happy as possible. But she was just so frightened that she was just not going to make it out of labor and delivery. So here's the part that really just that blew my mind is that she died by herself.
Yeah.
No family. Her significant other could not be present during her and supposedly she had to have an emergency C-section. Ironically, here we go again, C-section. Why is that the go-to? Why are we always, you know, jumping right to the C-section? But supposedly, as soon as they took the baby out, her heart stopped, supposedly. And put in mind, Amber, she made a tweet roughly, I want to say like a week or so prior to her even having the baby. And it says, can't wait to write about my experience during my last two trimesters dealing with incompetent doctors at this particular hospital. I'm not going to name the hospital, but at this particular hospital. And that's what, you know, she put out there. And just so happened, you know, she gave out multiple requests. They did not respond. Just very similar to the young lady who lost her life back a few years ago, you know? And it's just like, why is it that women, especially Black women, are the highest when it comes to maternal death rates?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we constantly see this trend? And some people might say, oh, it's because, you know, their dietary, whatever, look at their environment, you know, all these excuses they want to give. But did anybody ever think to question the services that they're being provided? Because if you were to go into a different zip code and the symptoms are matching someone else of a different zip code, I'm quite sure if they were to say this does not feel well, they will get some attention.
I agree. Which brings me to a few numbers that I came across. So nationally, Black women are 2.5 times more likely to die than white women, and 3 times more often than Hispanics, right? And so in 2018, the maternal mortality rate for non-Hispanic Black women was 37.1 deaths per 1,000 live births. And these are statistics from the National Health Center. It's very heartbreaking and it's very troubling that for us, when I mean us, a country, for us to be so quote unquote advanced, we are dealing with these type of numbers during labor and delivery. Of mothers dying. And so, like you said, it brings you to the question, if I lived in another zip code, you know, would this still happen? Or honestly, if my skin complexion was a different tone, would this still happen?
Right. And that's the stuff, you know, for me, and I feel like for us, that's why we promote so much for advocacy for when it comes to your body, trusting your body, and what your needs are. And just because someone throws it out there and says, hey, you should try this, that does not mean you have to. You can always question, do your own research, see what works best for you. I will, you know, just speaking from my experience right now and being in the position where I am close to delivery literally any day now, I know for a fact that I have advocated for myself highly, even more highly with this pregnancy than I ever have, because I know for a fact what's going to work for my body and what's going to be best. Because you have to think about, if you're a first-time mom, right, and you start looking at things like this, this could be scary, and you're like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into?
Exactly.
You know, maybe I should have kept myself on birth control, which I've never used it, so I can't tell you, but I feel like it's kind of, it works against your body anyway. Maybe I should have kept, you know, kept myself so I wouldn't have to have children. Like, you start having those type of thoughts, and it's so bothersome, because why is it that our community continues to just suffer for something that comes natural? And it almost makes you wonder, like, well, should we be more cautious when it comes to our care? Do we need to do more, you know, research on who gives better bedside manner? Because that's a good thing. Like, yes, you want someone that's highly qualified, but what about the bedside manner? You want someone that's going to be there and listen. If I'm telling you right now I'm leaking fluids and I feel like something's happening, I need you to check that right now.
Right.
If I feel like I'm feeling a little dizzy, we need to check my urine, or we need to do some testing. We need to run this right now. We need to do this. Like, we're not going to have, you know, shuck and jive. Or if I feel the need to go to the hospital to get checked out because something is just not sitting right with me, I'm going to do that, regardless if you say not to go. Because for me, I have to trust my motherly instincts in regards to how I feel. But Vesta, I'm curious for you, like, what are your thoughts? Like, what are you feeling in regards to just all of this? I could just tell. I'm looking at her, y'all. She I'm just looking
at her. It's a lot really that's on my mind when it comes to this. I think ultimately the root of it is the inequality that's in the healthcare system. Honestly, the racial disparities that are still alive and well. And also what came to mind, I call it the white coat syndrome. People with white coats, you know, doctors, these are people that, you know, we trust that would have our best interests at heart. But like you said, at the same time, as a person, as an individual, it is important that you do your own research and that you advocate for yourself. Just reflecting back on my pregnancy journey, I was not as heavily involved in this type of research until maybe, I think it was shortly after I had Eli, or right before, you know, he was due. And like you say, when you read these stories, you're like, oh my goodness, like, like, these numbers are real. Like, there are mothers really dying while giving birth, and they don't even have to, you know? Yep. And it upsets me because, you know, several times I've come across, you know, articles or just people talking about how Blacks, men and women, how doctors are so dismissive of anything concerning us when we make a complaint, or when we go to the, you know, doctor's office and saying, hey, you know, I have this pain. I think I was watching an Instagram video of a nurse who literally sat and watched a doctor dismiss symptoms of a person who was in pain, and gave them maybe like a low dose pain medicine. But then that same doctor was tending to the needs of a person of the opposite race and really made sure that they gave them the medication that would ease their pain. And I've heard people talk about how, you know, Blacks are looked at as, is it pain intolerant? Like, tolerant? Yeah. I just think that's the stupidest thing ever. Like, who comes up with this stuff? We're human. We have pain, just like the next person, just like the next race. And I just really, for the life of me, it's hard to fathom, really, that, you know, in 2020, we are still dealing with situations that are preventable.
100%. Or either it's the situation where they, how would you put it, do so many interventions that it causes trouble as well. Right?
Makes sense.
You know, that was kind of my case. I had so many different interventions done. Like, I even have this conversation with my mom, like, I'm so confused as to why all this stuff had to take place with me when I was pregnant with my son that I have yet to experience with my last two pregnancies. And don't get me wrong, every pregnancy is different. But yet, there were so many different interventions that led to other stuff. And I'm just like, I'm so confused because I still feel as if I wasn't allowed to trust my body. Like, why does it feel like, why am I being rushed through childbirth? I can't rush a baby to come out of me even if I wanted to. It's not my choice. The baby's going to come when the baby wants to come.
Exactly. And
like, because now it's kind of popularized for inductions, you know, things like that. Like, everybody wants to be induced. You do not want to be induced. I'm a firm believer in to tell you. The only way that you seriously need to be due, if it's for real medical severity. Other than that, I would not encourage anyone with an induction, because you got to trust your body. And sometimes these datings and scans they give you, they try to say your baby's due on this day. And then sometimes half of the time, y'all, it ain't even right.
Girl, oh my gosh. So it just brought me back to, I think my doctor told me our due date was September 25th. Mm-hmm. I knew when Eli was conceived. Like, we knew exactly when Eli was conceived. So from our calculations, Eli was supposed to, you know, come in October, you know, which he did or whatnot. I advocated for myself because when it was time for my induction, she told me, you know, by the time you come, you know, hit 40 weeks, if he's still not here, we're gonna, you know, induce. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, Eli, let's go. Come on, boy, please. When it came to my induction, I called the doctor's office and I said, hey, before y'all induce me, I am allowed these two tests. I need these tests to be done to mm-hmm. see, you know, if my baby was in any trouble or whatnot, and to see if I could go another week. Mm-hmm. So technically they said I was at 41 weeks. I still don't believe it. I did end up getting induced because when they did the stress test, it showed that his heart rate was slightly elevated. So of course I didn't want to put my baby or myself in any harm. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and got induced or whatnot. But to backtrack for a second, like you said, why is everything so rushed? I think it's also important to remember that the hospitals, they are businesses.
Yes.
They are businesses. And like any other business, guess what? They want them coins. So you see an increased suggestion, however they say it, you see that suggested C-section increase, because ultimately C-sections, which is a surgery, they're worth more than a vaginal birth.
Yep.
And that's what ultimately, if you ask me, I believe that's what the doctor is really after. And also too, when you are trusting your own body, there's no time or no telling when the baby will come.
Nope.
But when you're on someone else's time, they're going to make sure that this baby comes when they want the baby to come. So
I agree. I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. And just mommies, trust your bodies. Trust your gut, because literally it's being smushed up against you when you get bigger and bigger in pregnancy anyway. But trust your gut. If something does not sit right, you do not have to agree. I am here to firmly say, you do what works best for you. Only thing I'm going to encourage is that you be mindful of your situations. You stay mentally strong, because I will tell you, sometimes pregnancy will have you feeling as if you're losing it. But you stay steadfast, stay mentally strong. Those are going to be your greatest allies when it comes to labor and delivery. I'm going to encourage you, you figure out what's going to be the best case scenario for you. I'm not saying that all C-sections are bad or inductions are all bad, but I would just say you do what works for you. If you want to do those things, let it be your choice. Mm-hmm. Let it be your choice. Don't let it be something where, you know, you're kind of forced into, and trust your body. If you end up having your baby at home, you have your baby at home. Hey, it happens.
That's what they were doing back before hospitals were, you know, available anyway. So
my grandmother, I was talking with her the other day because we're doing a home birth, and she actually was like, well, I had, I think she had 5 or 6 at home, and then I think the rest were hospital, because by that time things were a little different. So she was like, oh yeah, I had a few of them at home. She laughs about it, you know. She's like, yeah, I'm accustomed to having babies at home. And hey, it might get back to those days where that's becoming something more popularized. If we're going to popularize something like that, popularize that. Hey, I'm having my baby at the house.
I agree. And like Kelly said, you know, in no way are we trying to give medical advice. We are just encouraging you all to make educated, informed decisions for yourself, your babe, and your baby. And also, you know, reach out for resources. Look up different resources that, you know, help mothers to advocate for themselves. A lot of, you know, birthing centers or even you know, doulas have someone that you know that can be in your corner if you do not feel comfortable advocating for yourself. Sometimes those white coats, the white coat syndrome tries to intimidate people sometimes. So if you feel like you need someone to just be by your side, reach out to someone that you feel that can be a support to you. But, you know, we just wanted to, like we said, take this time out to just highlight a very important matter in our country, because it's really, like I said, it's heartbreaking. Women are dying that really don't have to, and women are being ignored. And so just advocating for awareness and advocating for yourself could definitely be a game changer, you know, in situations like these.
100%. So remember, guys, we definitely talk back. We love to give feedback, and we'd love to hear feedback. So you can reach out to us. You know what? Honestly, I want to hear your stories. I want to hear your birth stories. You know, real, raw, uncut birth stories. I would love to hear that from our moms out there. So you could do it in a few different fashions. You can send us to moms@ksam.info. Or you could feel free to, you know, follow us on Instagram, you know, shoot us a little DM. We're there to read. KSA_motherhood. And just feel free to reach out to us there. And guess what, y'all? I'm going to let Vesta tell this part. Vesta,
where else could have did it?
Where else can they find us?
Kiss Socks of Motherhood is now on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, guys. So we will continue to post audio clips on all other platforms as well as YouTube. And moving forward, we are planning to do live podcast recordings so that you guys could see our faces, our facial reactions, and everything else. But like Kelly said, in the meantime, please feel free to shoot us a DM or email us. We would love to hear your birth stories. In the meantime, you all be safe, and until next week.
Until then, peace and love, everyone.